Evening. We'll turn to your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2, and tonight I've entitled the sermon, The Blessings of Boaz, The Blessings of Boaz. It really is an amazing thing when you think about God's goodness to us, and when we are in God's will, there are incredible blessings to be gained and reaped by God. And so this evening we're going to be talking about those very things, about what happens when we are near to God. And we are in the field of God. We are in the place where God wants us to be. I like one illustration that was given about Charles Spurgeon. The source is The Gold Mine by Lee Robertson, and he writes, "At one time, Mr. P.T. Barnum, head of the great Barnum and Bailey Circus, invited Charles Haddon Spurgeon of London to speak in a large tent at his traveling circus. He made every concession to make the offer attractive to Spurgeon. Barnum would provide the musical talent, unless Spurgeon wished to provide his own. He would provide any equipment or manpower Spurgeon desired. Spurgeon could speak as long or as short as he wished. There was only one basic stipulation. Barnum Circus Association would take the gate receipts and pay Spurgeon $1,000 per lecture. This was a generous offer in Spurgeon's day. Many would doubtless have said, what a wonderful opportunity to reach people with the gospel. But not Spurgeon. Knowing it would be wrong to join hands with the world, he sent a reply to Mr. Barnum. Dear Mr. Barnum, thank you for your kind invitation to lecture in your circus tents in America. You will find my answer in Acts 13:10. Very sincerely yours, Charles H. Spurgeon." If Mr. Barnum looked up Acts 13:10, he found these words, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" It is sad that not all Christians have such convictions. Mr. Spurgeon says, "I will not be bought out. I will not yoke up. I will not associate. You know what? I want to stay in the will of God. I don't want someone else to say they have control over me or someone else made me rich. No, I want God to make me that way and God to bless me." You see, our God is so amazing, wherein he doles out protection and provision when we have a passionate and a pious character. God's goodness extends far beyond our comprehension, so much so, and then in the story we're going to read tonight, Ruth was blessed far beyond her imaginations. She made it into the very fields of Boaz, a man whom she desired to glean in. A field she desired to glean in. You know what? We all have desires in our hearts. And the Lord had placed those very desires in Ruth's heart. And as circumstances would have, and I would not even say circumstances, but by the very providence of God, we want our desires to be fulfilled. Have you ever had that burning desire in your heart and you knew it was from God? And you knew that you needed to have it fulfilled. I mean, it was just there in your heart, a fulfillment, a desire so strong that you knew God had placed it there. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, and we're going to look at, but tonight we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, verses 8 through 16. But I want to look here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, and I will be getting to my point here shortly. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." As I have discussed in the past in one of her previous sermons, that Ruth went to a field that she did not know the owner. But she wanted to go to the field that Naomi discussed. And as God worked it out, the very desire of her heart, guess what happened? God gave it to her. In Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires in thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." There is nothing better than when you are in the will of God and you have desires of God and God fulfills it. You know, in order for all this to happen, all of us need to have the character of Ruth, as I discussed last week, and we need to be established in the field of Boaz. As I'm going to discuss here, would you stand with me as we read tonight? I know it's warm in here, so give you a little bit of time to stand up and stretch your legs. And Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and Now thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them. She may glean them, and rebuke her not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look tonight at the blessings and being in the field of Boaz, and God, what that translates to us today here in 2020. Father, I pray that we would see our desires fulfilled, those godly desires that you placed upon our hearts. That, Father, we would carry out the characteristics of Ruth. And, Father, in so doing, we would reap the blessings that you want to give to us. God, I pray that all of us would be faithful. And I pray for this evening that the person that does not know you as their Savior, that God, tonight they would accept you. And maybe they've been playing Christian. Maybe they don't know you. Maybe they made a profession many years ago, but tonight they come to realize, you know what, it was an empty profession. And tonight they'd put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. God, I pray they'd settle that decision. God, how much we need you. And Lord, I love you. And may we learn the blessings of Boaz this evening. And so, God, I commit it to your hand. I need your help. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we had discussed, in order for the blessings of Ruth, the desires of her heart, in order to get into the field of Boaz, we need the character of Ruth, as I had discussed last week, and to be established in Boaz's field. Really, this is a pictorial fashion. Boaz, as I had discussed, the kinsman redeemer is a type of Christ, as I had referenced earlier. And his foreman, the servant who oversaw the other servants, would really be a picture, kind of like our analogy of a pastor, you think about it that way. Ruth settled herself in Boaz's field and submitted to his authority over her life. She reaped great blessings. So the question this evening is, some of the challenges is, we need to stop trying to be a good Christian. Stop trying to fix our life. Stop yielding to your emotions and rather work on character. And be a person of diligent service for God and watch the Lord bless you. You see, Ruth could not have known whose field she was gleaning in, but God did. And so this evening, we need to get into God's field. We need to become focused on not just being a gleaner, not just one who's trying to pick up the pieces from others, no, but a gleaner in Boaz's field. And you kind of take that as a picture of a local New Testament church, and I'll explain that as we go along. And watch the Lord restore you to life and give you the provision and protection you so desperately desire and need. And so the principle this evening is, stop playing Christianity, go to God to develop your character, and watch him restore your life. I want to look, first of all, as I had discussed last week, just in brief, a little bit of review, the reputation of faith, as we had discussed here, verses 7 and 11, is talking about her life. And verse 11 particularly, hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. You know what? Ruth had a good reputation. She was a lady of upstanding character. We find that she went to work and worked hard. In Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. There's three things that Ruth did, as I discussed last week, and she was a woman of faith. She made the journey. She left her family. She did all that she can. She worked hard, hoping when she goes out, she's going to get into a field of a man who will take notice of her and be kind to her, and that she can reap in that field without being attacked. You see, Jerusalem at that day, in that area, Bethlehem, was not the nicest of area. You could be attacked by the men. And Proverbs 22:1, she's a lady of unbelievable character, a lady of, number one, faith, number two, meekness. We find in verse 13, she says, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. You know what? She was incredibly respectful through authority. She wasn't trying to usurp it. She wasn't trying to demand it. No, she was a lady of meekness. And also in verse 10, you find an example of her humility. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thy sight? You know what? Ruth understood that she's a stranger in Jerusalem, and she had faith, meekness, and humility. And you know what? That's the character that all of us ought to have as Christians. And as she did that, with that type of character, she then makes a request of the Father. She makes a request of Boaz, if you think about it. Not a request of the Father, but a request of Boaz. And Boaz takes notice of her, verses 10 through 13, as you read. Now, here's several things as we note here in this passage of Scripture, verses 10 through 13, about this. Ruth notes the incredible kindness of Boaz. She falls on her face and she acknowledges she's a stranger, and Boaz, he's been so gentle with her. You know what? God does the same towards you and I as his children. In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You see, God notices all that we're doing. And Ruth, as she's working out in the field, I mean, they're like, whoa, here's a lady, a Moabite, here working as a stranger. Her character, faith, and meekness, and humility. She's working so hard, and she is noticed. And you know what? If you're working for God and you're honoring the Lord, God notices you. When you're down and discouraged, the Father knows. God does not see us as we see ourselves. She saw herself as a stranger, not Boaz. He said, you're welcome in my field. You know what, sometimes as you think about that, we see ourselves as an outsider. I don't really belong here. This isn't my place, but I want to tell you the favor that God bestows upon her, the favor that Boaz bestows upon Ruth. And as she says in verse 13, let me find favor in thy sight, that statement that she makes is an expression of gratitude. I don't deserve your goodness towards me. And she's saying, would you please allow me to stay in your field? You've been ever so kind. I want to ask you this question. Why would God take notice of us in like fashion as Boaz did of Ruth? You see, God loves the stranger. God is watching all that you do, and he sees your faithfulness. He sees our care for the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger. He sees our care for others. And God knew the tragedy, as Boaz mentions. He says, "You even since the death of your husband, God knows your tragedies. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished." When you see others going through a hard time, you're like, yes, yes, they deserve it. No, that's not God. God's not doing that. God sees our commitment and sacrifice unto himself. He sees our turning our backs on our ungodly family and turning to him, and he says, I'm going to bless you. He sees our willingness to leave the comforts of life. She left Moab. And maybe you're like Ruth and you've been struggling and you've gone through great turmoil and you are in the depths of your soul struggling and saying, God, I need help. And God begins to work in her life. And you say, God, why are you so good to me? Lord, I don't deserve your goodness. God, you've blessed me. You've been kind to me. And I'm not talking about blessings in financial ways, but I'm saying, God, why would you take such notice of me? Lord, I don't deserve it. And God says, I notice you. You're that stranger in my field. You're that Moabite, but you're welcome in my fields. We find a passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 22, if you'd like to turn with me there, that God notices the stranger. And sometimes we may say, Lord, I feel like an outsider. I don't belong here. Lord, this is not my place I'm supposed to be. And God says, you're in my field. You belong to me, and I'm so glad you're with me. And you find some tremendous blessings here in Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, as God talks about protecting the stranger. In Exodus 22, 21, and thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. And God's saying, don't be taking advantage of those who are innocent. God protects those. God protects those also as Ruth, who put God first. Ruth had no man to protect her. She had no husband to protect her. But who protected her? God did. And as God would divinely lead, and as God's providence, God put a man over her that would care for her, and that man's name was Boaz. She submitted to his leadership. She submitted to his foreman's leadership. And in the Christian field, the field of Boaz has similarity to the blessings and provision of being established in a sound local New Testament church under the headship of Jesus Christ. You know what? If you're willing to say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to submit to it. There are a lot of similarities. It's a great picture of community within a local assembly. All of these servants of Boaz, they come together and they're eating and they're dining together. And he even speaks to them kindly, and In verse 5, as you find here in Ruth chapter 2, I lost my place here. Ruth chapter 2, verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reaper, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." But just before that, verse 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.'" Here is a group of people under Boaz's leadership. And man, Boaz cares for his maidservants and his reapers and gleaners. He cares for them in a tremendous fashion. His head servant even talks about this very truth. And you think about that. If you want to take a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being over a church, and then you have under shepherds underneath that, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." It's likely here that Boaz has multiple fields, and he's going to see his one servant over top of this one particular field, and he says, "I want you to care for that." And you know that head foreman, if you want to think about it from that perspective, or supervisor, he notes who's in the field, and he notes about Naomi, because she would even come up to him and ask for permission to enter that field. Boaz's servant was watching over the flock and evaluating her life. She was ever so polite. As you find here in verses 6 and 7, as that head servant, that foreman, notes Ruth's kindness and humility. You know what, as you think about that head servant, it's kind of the same thing that God does in churches today with the pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, 'Feed the flock of God which is among you, not taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock.'" And Boaz's headman, he was that example, and he leads, and he gives an account to Boaz of what's going on. There's a clear command: go out and reap. The fields are ready to be harvested. And Ruth was invited to partake in this community, and she exhibited, as I had mentioned, those three things: faith, humility, and meekness. And you know what, all Christians, we all need that character in our lives. We need faith, humility, and meekness. And God will bless us. As you think about that, she requested his favor, as I had mentioned. She expressed her gratitude and said, "Please, you've been ever so kind, but would you allow me to stay in your fields?" You see, when you are in the Lord's will and you're in his field, as you think about the local church, there are great rewards that you will reap. You see, here's several rewards. In Matthew chapter 7, would you turn with me here to Matthew chapter 7? When you're in the will of God for your life, you have answered prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we'll read verses 7 and 8, and then verse 11. You're welcome to read the others in context, but for the sake of time tonight, we'll read verses 7 and 8. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened." And verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" See, God wants to answer our prayers. God wanted to help Ruth, and he did. She had faith, meekness, and humility. You see, we have an open forum, an open access to God. In John 15, 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." You know what? If your character's right, God says, "Ask me anything, and I want to answer it." You're going to inherit the very best of God. You think about Psalm 37, 11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." God's saying the way up is not to be a greater person. The way up is to be meek and humble. And you know what? When you're meek and humble and you have faith in me, I'll lift you up. I'll raise you up. And that's exactly what God did with Ruth. You see, God rewards his own. Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You see, God wants to enrich your life. We find the abundant grace of God in verse 14 of this passage. "And Boaz said at mealtime, 'Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar.'" He says, "You know what? You're always welcome at my table." What a picture of God's grace. that the master would become like the servants. He'd eat among them. And here even this thing as he's talking, and Boaz would even sit there and he would actually feed Ruth and feed her the food, the parched corn. Boaz noted something distinct about Ruth. You find here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, here's something amazing that Boaz desired and wished for Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Here's the key. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth said, I put my full trust in God. And I'm going to let God provide for me. And God put me into the blessed field of Boaz. You see, the very reason many Christians don't have God's grace in their lives, and maybe they're struggling, is the fact that they don't have the right character. And they don't work hard in the ministry of the Lord. They don't put their trust in God. Realize this, that she was brought into the very membership of the hired servants and afforded all the privileges of meals and refreshment. You see, as you find it here in Scripture, and that's the very same truth. She says, I want to stay in your field. She made a commitment, I'm staying in Boaz's field if you'll allow me. And you find that very same example in Scripture of coming into God's church, the local New Testament church, and that comes through baptism. And Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto 3,000 souls. You see, I made a commitment. I want to serve Christ with my life. The grace of God abounds on our lives when we are willing to submit to God's authority. You know what happens? We can be nourished and refreshed. Look with me at the latter portion of verse 15. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. You know what? She was satisfied. I want you to understand that when I am in the field of Boaz and I'm in the field of Christ, I'm satisfied. The world doesn't entice me. Other things don't entice me. No, God entices me. God suffices me. God satisfies me. You think about that in Colossians 2:19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth. With the increase of God, we can be lifted up. We can be nourished and refreshed and strengthened. All these servants were growing, and they were saying, wow, Boaz. And he said, the Lord bless thee, and they said, the Lord bless thee. There was a camaraderie, and there was like, wow, a care for one another. In that same fashion, Jesus Christ, turn with me to John chapter 21, as Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples about being refreshed, and he gives them an invitation, the same type of invitation that he gives to us today and that Boaz would give to Ruth in John chapter 21, verse 9. John chapter 21, verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. The disciples were out fishing, and a fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Here's the key. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was risen from the dead. Jesus says, come and dine. Jesus had a fire waiting to feed them, waiting to satisfy them. They're hungry. They've been fishing all night. They have 153 fish in the net. The net doesn't break. And Jesus says, would you come and dine? I love that song. There's that hymn, Come and Dine. I'm horrible at repeating hymns and the words, but I do know that that's a hymn. There's never any shortage of food when you come to God. No, at Boaz's dinner table, at the Lord Jesus Christ's dinner table, there's an overabundance. Your soul will be satisfied, refreshed. When you're striving to fulfill God's will for your life and you're in the community of believers under a loving master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a field, and you're under the headship of, you have the headship, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have an under-shepherd, the pastor, you should be nourished and challenged and encouraged in your life. In God's field, the local church, as Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 discusses, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here is Boaz eating with his servants, and here's the key. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As Boaz does, he sits amongst his servants. He doesn't take Ruth off to a side in his own private tent. No, he sits there with her. He eats with her. He dines with her. And the same thing Jesus Christ did with his disciples. He says, come and dine. Let's all eat together. And he made sure that Ruth is satisfied. And Jesus Christ wants to make sure that you and I are satisfied. It's kind of Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God wants our spirits and souls to be satisfied, sufficed. And when we get into the field of God, we get into the blessings of God, we get into the will of God, we have that faith, that meekness and humility, God says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to satisfy you. There's a kindred heart in the Lord's field. There's help, there's encouragement, there's fellowship. You see, you find that in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know what? And that glory and that supply does not just necessitate a physical item, such as food and water and house. No, that includes your emotions, your mental well-being. God says, I am that. And Boaz says, I will provide for you, Ruth. You are welcome in my field. Because he makes a statement in verse 12, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And when you think about in the will of God, you're in the field of Boaz. The work is constantly rewarding. You see, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want to show you some things about the protection of God. That statement, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And that very idea, under whose wings, over and over and over again in the scriptures, think about this, that God, in his wings, he takes his children, he takes his loved ones, and he puts them under his wings, and he cares for you. There's a protection. I want to show you those truths this evening in just a short fashion, but there's several places in Psalms and other places of Scripture. It mentions that phrase, under whose wings, or that idea. You see, when we are protected by God, we have his protection. We have him overseeing us, overlooking us, saying, I know whose field. I'm going to put you in just the right field because I don't want any other man to touch you. I don't want any other man to harass you. No, I'm going to put you in the right field. And God considers his people in Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thought of his heart to all generations. And I want you to understand this. Think about this. God's heart for you is your best. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to be growing and nourished. And he wants you to have an abundance of his blessings on your life. God wants us to flourish spiritually. And Ruth did go through some hard times. But understand this. In Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. God considers you. You're on his heart, in his mind. I like what one commentary, the Preaching Word commentary, mentions. It says, Boaz's concern for Ruth is driven partly by an awareness that not all men are as he is. He orders his men not to touch Ruth and warns her not to go elsewhere, lest in another field he be assaulted. All is not sweetness and light. In quiet Bethlehem, dark threats lurk in the wings. Against this background, Boaz acts as Ruth's provider and protector. He allows her to glean in his field, give her food and water, and draws her in from the margins to the center of the social group he superintends and sends her home with plenty to share with Naomi. There's a generosity here that borders on extravagance, even instructs his men to deliberately pull out some stalks from the sheaves for Ruth to gather. It may be nothing more than true piety as Boaz observes the spirit of the law, not just its letter. You're to take care of the stranger. End quotes. You know what? It's the same way in churches. There's many churches where you bite and consume and devour one another, but when the church submits to Christ, and I'm not talking about a building, but when the believers submit to Christ, there's protection, forgiveness, and unity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, that idea of one member suffers, all suffer with it. There's a unity there. And when you're in Boaz's field and you're in the blessings of God and you submit to God's authority and you have the character of Ruth, understand this, that God will bless. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Those in Boaz's field have a love for God, and they had a love for him. As you look at verse 12, I want to show you several passages of Scripture to understand this, that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the character of Ruth, you're under his wings. You're under his protection. In Psalm 36, 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. That's a reference to the wings of a cherubim on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. But it was here blessings were sprinkled on the Day of Atonement, and God's people were trusting his mercy. And that does come from Rod Mattoon's commentary there. But Psalm 57, 1, it talks again, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Psalm 61, 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 63, 7, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 91, 4, under his wings shalt thou trust. And you think God doesn't care. No, if I have faith, meekness, and humility, just like Ruth, just as Boaz said, under the wings, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The key is, who are you trusting in? If you want the blessings of Boaz, who are you trusting in? You see, our protection ultimately comes from God. You're his child. Find it in Matthew 23, 37. Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He's talking about Jerusalem. You didn't want to be under my wings. You didn't want to trust the prophets. You didn't want to submit to me. No, and so you said, no, I don't want to be under your protection. I want to do my own thing. And so your protection ultimately comes from God. You see, God is limited to protecting us, but not limited in protecting us. Excuse me. God is not limited to protecting us, and he's also not limited in providing for us. In Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And you know what? That's what Boaz did. He says, not only am I going to feed you and allow you to sit with me, and I'm going to protect you. Men, don't touch her. He provides for her not only at the meal, but then also he provides enough for her to go and care for Naomi. So the two of them have an abundance. Think about that. God doesn't just provide for her personally, but also for her family corporately. What a blessing. And you know what? If we are a person of character, God will provide. Because here Boaz says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Who is she gleaning it for? She and Naomi. You know what? Sometimes you can look at some people in the church and you say, why do they have more blessings than others? Why does it seem like God's hand on their life? And I feel like I'm doing right, but God, it doesn't feel like you're blessing me. I want to ask you, do you have the character of Ruth? And Ruth received the richest blessings. Psalm 65:4. Turn with me here. Psalm 65:4. This is understanding this idea that why Ruth received such blessings. Psalm 65:4. It is warm in here this evening. This is where my satisfaction comes from. 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. There's satisfaction in the goodness of God. And she would, multiple times, that Ruth would notice the satisfaction of Boaz. And it is said in several places in Scripture, Psalm 103:5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There are times where you just get downtrodden, and you begin to look at life, and you begin to look at problems and struggles, and you said, oh. In Psalm 103:5, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God says, I will renew you. I can give you that satisfaction back. We all get older. We all have less energy as the older you get. But understand this, that you can have satisfaction. You can have a sufficient amount for all that you need. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Ruth took satisfaction and joy in Boaz and in following the Lord, and the same thing Nehemiah did in chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion to them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord our God, neither be ye sorry. And I love this next phrase. Where does my strength come from? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you, if you want the provision of God, Ruth was overjoyed, rejoicing in Boaz's goodness to her. If you want strength in life, you need the joy of the Lord. If God's not giving you joy, you're finding your strength from someone else. You're finding your protection from someone else. You're finding your provision from someone else, but it's not God. I like what one gentleman, one illustration here from the Houston Chronicle, August 21st, 2009, states. I did find this from a website online quoting this. It says, Prentice Henderson lived to be 100. He lived through the Great Depression, fought in World War II, and buried his wife. He did not retire until he was in his 70s, and he taught Sunday school to seventh grade boys for over 30 years at First Baptist Church. He had a simple little philosophy: I choose to be happy. His daughter testified that he was always positive regardless of the situation. This man influenced generations because he chose to be happy. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord. We can re-choose, as she said, let me find favor in thy sight. Oh, Lord, I'd like to stay in your field. You've been so good to me. I don't want to move from here. There's nothing so sweet. And how many of you may be empty and idle, and you're just saying, I feel so down. In Psalm 107:9, I want you to understand here a truth that God gives us so clear. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And Ruth had a position of prominence among the gleaners. In fact, the Lord richly blessed her by Boaz's comments and command to protect her. In 1 Peter 5:7, this is what we need to do. If we want to get the blessings of Boaz, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Ruth said, Boaz, you've been ever so kind to me. I'd like to stay in your field. She had the right character. She had faith and meekness and humility. He said, oh, more than welcome in my field. Not only are you welcome in my field, not only can you glean from what I have, no, I want you to my dinner table. I want you to come and dine with me. I want to satisfy you for your labors while you're laboring now, but not only that, I want to give you extra amount so you can corporately take it back for you and Naomi. What a blessing. Handfuls of purpose. And you know what God does that for us? How many of you have maybe gotten tired and weary in faithful service to the Lord, and perhaps your blessing meter starts to kind of go, you know, it waffles, and you're like, Lord, I just don't see any blessings. Lord, I just don't see any joy. And God, I'm struggling. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I like what one illustration by Charles Simeon, and it comes from here, Ministry 127, as he's quoting Charles Simeon, but it says, here's the key. When he was appointed as the pastor in a church in Cambridge, England in 1783, Charles Simeon was delighted. The people of the church did not share his joy. Many of the prominent members of the church opposed his conviction on reaching the lost with the gospel. To show their displeasure, they locked their pew boxes during the service and left them empty so that those who came to hear Simeon preach had to stand or sit in the aisles. Eventually, God began to work, and Simeon's ministry had a powerful influence on the nation of England and the world through his efforts to encourage missionary work. During the dark days of opposition, Simeon wrote, in this state of the things, I saw no remedy but faith and patience. It was painful indeed to see the church, with the exception of the aisles, almost forsaken. But I thought that if God would only give a double blessing to the congregation that did attend, there would be on the whole be as much good as if the congregation were doubled and the blessing limited to only half the account. This comforted me many times. Without such a reflection, I should have sunk under my burden. Opposition does not mean that we are doing things wrong. Often it is evidence that we are doing things right. If we allow ourselves to be deterred from doing anything unless we have complete approval, it is certain that we will never accomplish anything of value. Rather than being discouraged by opposition, we should take comfort in God's faithfulness and keep on doing what is right, end quotes. Charles Simeon says, I had opposition to those who didn't want me to reach the lost. And you know what? I'm so thankful you're here this evening. You've been faithful to God. God wants people to be faithful to his house, faithful to corporately come together. And people who don't come to church, you know, barring health issues or other such things that may keep them out, God says you're unfaithful and you're not going to get the blessings of Boaz. You belong in church. You belong when the doors are open. You ought to be here. And he might encourage you by answering your prayers. And Ruth said, let me stay in your fields. And there are many ways to get the Lord's handfuls of purpose on us. As I come to the conclusion here, there's a hymn. What a blessed hymn. As the hymn writer put it, well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings through his blood. I now am saved. As they come and finish up here, does Jesus satisfy you? Boaz satisfied Ruth. Boaz, who's a picture of Jesus Christ. As we learn by looking at this passage of Scripture, the reputation of faith, do you have good character? The request of the Father, request of Boaz, Boaz, I want to stay in your field. And as she stayed, there's rewards of the faithful. And you know what? Sometimes we say, it's such hot work. It's so hot gleaning these fields. It's more than I can bear. And Jesus says, come and dine. I'm going to feed you. You know what? Here's an illustration for you. Like what one Rod Mattoon makes a statement here. He said, we have now gone from emptiness to enjoyment, or from scarcity to satisfaction. The focus of this book has gone from Naomi's unbelief, rebellion, and bitterness to Ruth's faith, submission, and gratitude. When Naomi left Bethlehem, she left full but returned empty. She had an empty home, dead husband and sons, empty hands, poverty-stricken, and an empty heart, bitter against God. Naomi pictured the empty life. She was spiritually bankrupt because of her unbelief, rebellion, and bitterness, which led to her emptiness. Ruth, on the other hand, pictured the satisfied life. She was spiritually rich because of her faith, submission, and gratitude, which led to her satisfaction. God had a wonderful plan for Ruth. Through Ruth, Naomi would be changed. The Lord had turned bitterness to blessing, emptiness to elation, and hopelessness to hope. He begins to put Naomi's and Ruth's lives back together again, giving them family, food, and faith. Ruth shows us a lady that says, you can't take my faith. I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be humble no matter what trials I face. And God says, I'm going to put you in Boaz's field. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. And final verse this evening. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, and we'll be done. And we'll have prayer time after. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, Here's the truth. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Boaz says, stay in my field. I'll bless you. I'll provide, and I'll protect. As you think about these truths this evening, I want to ask you, are you in Boaz's field? Are you in the place where God wants you? Are you in the place where God can use you? Because you have the character of Ruth. If we don't start with the character of Ruth, we can't get the blessings of Boaz. And that people, God won't take notice of you. Yes, he takes notice of your evil, but God doesn't take notice of your character in a positive light where he wants to reward you. And so if you want the blessings of Boaz, you need to get into Boaz's field. You need to submit to his authority, and you need to walk with faith, humility, and meekness. And if you do such, you'll reap God's richest blessing.